This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card, buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Welcome back. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP all week. We're taking a break from hardball to go to the hardwood, and let's talk with Chris Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at CMillsPXP, going out on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Chris, what's going on today? How you doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
No longer CM, I call you BM, not Beard Man.
Yeah. What's up,
what's up, brother? How you doing, bro? Man?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
I'm spectacular, man. Listen, I didn't even notice, and because you know I've been in North Carolina with the grandkids. Cam Whitmore, that's his name?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about him, because Jeff is already raving about the dude. He already got a Cam Whitmore fan club.
I'm probably part of that fan club also. You know, B-Mitch, when he was coming out of Villanova, this is the Victor Wembanyama class. 3 years ago, two of my favorite players in that draft class was Bilal Coulibaly and Cam Whitmore, and now they're on the same team. So I think this is a tremendous opportunity for Cam to kind of come close to home. He's from the Baltimore area, and it's a great opportunity for the Wizards. It was really a low cost to trade for him, 2 second-round picks. This kid has a ton of talent. I don't think talent is the issue with him. I just think the opportunity in Houston wasn't plentiful for him because there was a logjam of a lot of young players that they wanted to take a look at down there. So much so that the guy that they drafted third overall last year, Reed Shepard, he barely even played. So this is a Houston team that was second in the West in the regular season. Now they go out and get that Kevin Durant. And I think you could see the writing was on the wall for him that there wasn't going to be a lot of minutes. So I give the Rockets a lot of credit. They worked a deal with Washington to bring him here, and he's going to get a nice runway to show the league why he is a really dynamic offensive player. I'm interested to see how he develops on the defensive end, but he has all the skills to be a really good player in this league, B. Mitch.
Summer league getting underway for the Wiz. You're going to be out there in Vegas for the summer league?
I am. Looking forward to it.
How long are you out there, Chris? Because I may be out there not this week, but next week.
Yeah, just hit me up. I think we'll be out there 7 days. Gives me a chance to see all four of the games that they have scheduled right now. And really curious to see how the young players from a year ago use this opportunity once again to get better, just to get some competition out there. Uh-huh. They don't need to do anything spectacular. Just stay healthy and just continue to develop their games.
Is this a 2-week or 3-week thing? Because I think my thing I was looking at possibly going is like the 25th or 6th, something like that.
I'm checking my schedule right now. The games that they have right now, there's 4 games that they guarantee that they have. B is from the 11th through the 16th. And their 5th game could take place anywhere between the 18th through the 20th.
Okay, gotcha.
Which of the guys specifically are you interested to see? Because I think a lot of what you're going to see in Summer League is, frankly, a lot of what you're going to see from the Wiz in the regular season with a lot of these young guys playing significant minutes. But who are you most intrigued to see in the Summer League?
Good question. Bub Carrington, to me, showed me everything I needed to see a year ago. The only thing I want to see is, has he gotten into the weight room? Has he gotten a little bit bigger? What has he worked on since May the 1st? All those young players, guys, came back on May the 1st. So they got, like, basically a couple of weeks away, but they've been in the lab since then. I'm really curious with Bub. Obviously, I want to see Trey Johnson, what he looks like on an NBA floor, the 6th overall pick from this year. And Keyshawn George. I think that guy really surprised a lot of people with his ability to defend last year. He's got great size, and he can play multiple positions. And obviously Alex Saar. You want to see if he's ready to take that next step. And that's the real key with these guys. They were given ample opportunity last year in the regular season to kind of get their feet wet with the league. Now they're going into their second summer league. They've had a full season of really working on their game. And I just want to see them just apply that. Again, the most important thing, guys, to me is just don't get injured. I want these guys to go into the rest of the offseason being ready to go once camp starts in the fall.
Talking with Chris Miller, the TV voice of the Washington Wizards here on the Rude Guest Hotline. This season for the Wiz, because they're going to be playing so many young guys once again like they did last year, which, by the way, absolutely love the way that they have approached these last couple of seasons. But with a C.J. McCollum, assuming he sticks around, and some of these guys, we'll see what happens with Marcus Smart. Do you think we could see them be a little friskier and win some of these ball games and maybe finish with a better record than they have the last couple years, and maybe even not compete for a playoff
we
spot,
still have a night
be there
a night pick protected draft spot, right?
Top 8 protected, yeah.
We gotta make sure we get that right.
So I think there's still value in that, obviously, because the 2026 draft, I'm really impressed with, especially at the top. They've got 4 kids I think you can really hand the keys to and let them really lead your franchise. I think that draft is that good. So I would be mindful of that. But also, I've had to learn this the hard way, guys. Like, the last 2 years has been about development, and it's hard. It's not easy. I will tell people, when you call every possession of every game and you've had these long losing streaks, it can be difficult. But if you understand, like, the thinking behind it, and Brian, you and I talked about this, I think, the day after the draft, about kind of using your NFL experience about, would you rather a quarterback sit or play? I'd rather him play. That's kind of how the Wizards approached last year with these young players. So I don't see that being any different this upcoming season. But with the additions of C.J. McCollum and bringing back Chris Middleton, this is as we're speaking right now, those guys can only help the young players. And I think a guy like Jordan Poole is a classic case of that. He understood what the assignment was the last couple of years. This team wasn't winning. They were developing. And I think Jordan did a really good job of that last year, really helping the young players understand the league and kind of navigate, tough times. So I see McCollum doing the same thing and the other veterans that they're bringing in.
This group seems to be bringing in guys and constantly building towards something, unlike before. If you look at last year, you look at this year, how much better are they, and how much closer are they?
I've been doing this a long time, Brian, and I've couched kind of like my expectations over the years and just kind of just watched. But I will say this about the front office, and it's kind of impressive to see. There's 2 things that they do that I'm very impressed with. One is they identify the type of player that they're looking for, and they go after them. I won't spill any state secrets, but I will say a guy like Will Riley and a guy like Bub Carrington, they were on these prospects early, and they stayed on them. and they continued to watch them grow through college. So it made sense why they drafted them, because they had all the information that they needed. The other thing is they keep their mouth shut and they just do their work. They're not out constantly patting themselves on the shoulders and telling everybody how great their plan is. They just put their head down and they go to work. And as an adult, I can actually like respect kind of the way they go about their job of just, we're not here to talk all day, every day about how great our plan is. We're just going to show you. And I have to say, going into my 19th season covering this team, I don't think I've ever been more excited about seeing what the young players can do. And there's a large list of them. I think they have 12 guys ranging in age from 19 to 24, and they all have an ability to do something, either score, either defend, length, something. They all bring something to the table that when you kind of watch them grow, you'll be curious to see what they look like when they are ready to start winning.
Chris, I've gotten into doing some color analyst work, and I know you do the play-by-play. You know what excites me? When I got some good players to talk about.
Amen.
Hey, so I understand what you're saying, because you know what? I am looking forward to preseason this year, and I know you're looking forward to it because you get the whole season to call it.
You know, what I'm more excited about, too, is the competition, Brian. And there are a lot of kids in that age range that I was talking about. And, you know, for the coaching staff, you know, they can say, hey, look, there are opportunities out here. We're not going to give it to you, but go compete for it. You know, that, to me, is exciting. To see a Marcus Smart and a C.J. McCollum and a Bub Carrington with, like, the point guard role, right? Seeing all the wings that they have, you know, Bilal competing. You know, Trey Johnson, you know, all these names. It's just a lot of kids that are going to be out there, you know, fighting for minutes. And I think ultimately down the road when you look at it, I'm not saying they're going to be Oklahoma City. I'm not saying that. But there is a model to look at to see how you draft, you develop, you kind of retain the players, and you allow them to grow. And I think that's the reason why I have some real optimism about what they're doing. This is the third draft and the second regular season we've seen with this front office. And I know a lot of people on Twitter give Will Dawkins a lot of credit, as they should. He's done a great job. But Michael Winger, Travis Schlenk, you know, Amber Nichols, the scouting department, the analytics department. This isn't a mom and pop shop. This is a Fortune 500 smart thinking organization that thinks big picture, and they don't take shortcuts. And I think that's the exciting part of looking at this journey.
Talking with Chris Miller here on the Rude Guest Hotline, Toby Altizer in for JP this week on B. Mitch and Finley. I don't know if we're going to dub them the Johnson brothers, but I'm excited about watch both of those guys. Trey Johnson, obviously the first round pick, and you can kind of dive into him. But it feels like we spend so much time because he was acquired last year at the deadline, and he played the second half of the season, but it almost feels like A.J. Johnson gets forgotten about. What impressed you most about his game down the stretch when you got to see a little bit more of him? And what do you expect to see out of him this season, as well as the first round pick Trey Johnson?
Yeah, I'll start with AJ first. I think his first game with us, he drove the baseline and slammed it home. And I saw some video of him before we got him, where the kid's got some bounce in his legs and really athletic, and he did it in the game right away. And I looked over at Drew and I said, I told you, young fellas got bounced. So it was kind of cool to see what you saw on film. No fear out of that young man. And again, I think we got him a year ahead of schedule. Like this year, I think he can be able to kind of navigate himself in the rotation. But again, this is the front office. They throw him out there and we saw some flashes. Meanwhile, for Trey Johnson, this kid, if not the best shooter, one of the best shooters in this draft with him and Con Knipl, and his size at the shooting guard position is impressive. You know, to be 6'5", 6'6", long arms, led the SEC in scoring as a freshman. That's high praise. And I think he averaged like 37 minutes a game too. So this kid is kind of durable and he's a really good shooter. And now implementing him into this program now, there's, again, going to be some competition. Do you have Bilal Coulibaly play the two? Is he going to play the two? You got Chris Middleton. You got all these C.J. McCollum. So I think for Trey, this is not a good situation. I think this is a great situation for him to be in a place where he can get veteran leadership, good coaching, and also kind of navigate his way through, you know, your rookie season where not everything is thrown upon you like some of these players. that got drafted this year where you're like, wow, they're like the face of the franchise in day one. I don't think Trey has to deal with that. He can just kind of have a seamless transition into his rookie year.
Good stuff.
What kind of improvements do you want to see from Alex Sarr this year?
I think on the defensive end, I think he's really good on that end of the floor, but he can even be better. I think the three-point shooting, he's just kind of this new age five where five men can shoot threes, right? We saw that in the finals. And for him, just his consistency. You know, he showed his hand a little bit, you know, at Denver when he scored 34 points on Jokic. That was his career night, right? So you're like, oh, this kid can – he can easily get 40 in a game. But It was the way that he did it. And I thought he outplayed Jokic that night clearly. And so – there are spots where you know he can improve, but I thought he had a solid rookie season.
Chris, appreciate the time, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Summer League's going to be fun to watch, and I think this season of Wizards basketball, even if it's not as successful wins and losses-wise, I think it's going to be an exciting one to watch, and you're going to be on the call of a lot of fun Wizards basketball this year. Exciting to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, guys. Really looking forward to it, and it's all about competition now. I just want to see the kids get out there and go up against the best in the league.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Hey,
appreciate the time, man.
Take care, guys.
Thanks. Bye, man. Be cool.
That was Chris Miller. He joined us on the Rude Guest Hotline. I think this Wizards team this year, I appreciate that they at least have a direction, B. Mitch, right? Like, you can appreciate, even if it's not leading to wins and losses yet, you can appreciate when an organization, at least, you can see the vision. You can understand where they're going.
You can appreciate it. You see the vision, but I think still, that protected pick is they want that.
100%.
And they're going to continue moving forward, but... You know, I could think you may see a few wins improved. They're not going to try to be stupid.
No. I mean, they're probably going to sell off some of these veterans, but I think watching these young guys, it is a blast. They played a fun brand of basketball last year, even though there were plenty of losses. Going to get back into the Nationals, 800-636-1067, if you'd like to hop in. Want to talk about the moves with Davey and Mike Rizzo, but also want to talk about the learners. Do you think that the ownership group fully understands how frustrated the fan base is, not just with the team, but specifically with the ownership group? We'll take your calls on that next. Again, 800-636-1067. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan.
So we were just talking, Ben and I were, about what the Wizards are doing. And they did some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Mel's over the weekend. I'm for this process. I am. No guarantees, and not so sure why many of you believe that trading for Cam Whitmore is going to make them a playoff team. I saw some of that on social media before this show. I certainly don't think that's the case. You don't want them to be a playoff team next year. They've got a protected first-round pick in the top nine. So for those of you that don't know, you know, a lot about Cam Whitmore, he's from the area, grew up a Wizards fan, went to Villanova, big recruiting battle for Cam Whitmore when he was growing up and playing in Annapolis at Archbishop Spalding. You know, he came out in the 23 draft, that's the Coulibaly draft, and he was selected 20 overall by Houston in that draft. Some people thought he was, you know, under drafted, that he was, you know, potentially a top 15-ish kind of pick. Washington, according to reports at the time, they were very interested in Cam Whitmore and potentially thought about or even inquired about getting back into the first round to select Cam Whitmore. But Houston selected him instead. You know, he's a 6'7", 225-230-pound wing. Washington's got plenty of wings on their roster, that's for sure. To me, this is like overall, this is one. They traded 2 second-round picks. A second-round pick next year, which is the pick they acquired from Charlotte, and a 2029 second-rounder. The Wizards have so many picks, firsts and seconds, right through the early 2030s. This is not a high cost. So I like the trade. I like the, you know, the low risk of 2 second-rounders for a player who was a first-round selection that they really liked 2 years ago. It's an inexpensive cost for maybe a big reward for a guy who's a tremendous athlete. He really is. I'll get back to Whitmore in a moment. The Wizards now have, in 3 drafts, 9 first-round picks from 23, 24, and 25. Coulibaly and Whitmore from the 23 draft. Sar, Carrington, George, and then A.J. Johnson and their recent trade for Dylan Jones from the 24 draft, and then Trey Johnson and Will Riley from this most recent draft. 9 first-round players from the last 3 drafts. That's interesting. You know, this is the place they're going. I mean, they've got 3 19-year-olds in Carrington, Trey Johnson, and Will Riley. They've got 4 20-year-olds in Sar, A.J. Johnson, Coulibaly, and Whitmore. Whitmore turns 21, I think, this month. They've got a 21-year-old in Kyshawn George. And then, yeah, I mean, those are the players that they've acquired via the draft, those 9 over the last 3 years. I mean, they got a young team. It takes time in the NBA. Didn't for Oklahoma City, only took a couple years, but that is the aberration, not the norm. Look, Houston, for those of you who don't follow the NBA, but, you know, are interested in what the Wizards are doing, Houston, you know, coached by Udoka, is a defensive first team. He's a defensive first coach. They were an outstanding defensive team during the course of this past season. They were unbelievable in the postseason defensively. They ended up losing to the Warriors, but my God, that was a series. The physical nature of that series was outstanding and fun to watch. lost in seven games, in a game seven, by the way, at home against Golden State. And Golden State had, you know, terrific performances on the defensive end from guys like Şengün and Amen Thompson, who was a star in the making, Dylan Brooks. They were a very good defensive team. And Cam Whitmore wasn't getting any time for this Houston team. So everybody in Houston knew that they were going to be moving on from Whitmore. You know, whether or not they got back enough for Whitmore, and there was other team interest in Whitmore, I don't know. Seems like a pretty good deal for the Wizards, to be honest with you. 2 seconds for a guy that got picked at number 20 two drafts ago, hasn't played that much. When he has played, it's been typically during, you know, blowouts at the end of games. He's started a couple of games because of injuries. And what he's done really as a player in Houston is, you know, not that much. He averaged this year, he did average 9.4 points per game, averaged 12.3 as a rookie in, like, you know, back up 16, 17, 18 minutes a game. He's not a defender, and that's probably one of the reasons Houston wanted to move on from him. They want tough defenders. He's also not a great creator, you know, for other players. He's young, though. Like, there's all this talent, unbelievable athletic talent. I mean, he was an athlete in high school. He was an athlete at Nova. He has been, he's been an athlete. Like, he dunks with an edge, man. He goes after it. Here's what he doesn't do well. I already mentioned one thing, that, you know, it's not just whether or not technically he's a good defender. It looks like he's not always interested in defending. That needs to change. And it might with maturity. Number two is, you know, he's not a great creator for other players. At least he hasn't been yet. You know, even going back to Nova, in the one season he was there, he averaged 12.5 points a game. He averaged less than one assist a game at Nova. In his two NBA seasons, he's averaged less than one assist. Even though he's averaged, you know, 9.4 points per game this year, 12.3 points per game. And then here's the last thing I'll mention. He's not a bad shooter in terms of the ball comes off his fingertips really well, really good arc. It's a very slow operation in his jump shot. And that's the one thing I remember. When I was not, like, the biggest Cam Whitmore guy in the 2023 draft. And we spent some time on him because he was a local, and because there was a lot of interest from Wizards fans in taking Cam Whitmore, you know, at their original position before they traded up to get Koulibaly. And I wasn't the biggest fan of Whitmore. It's impossible. We say this all the time, especially about the NBA draft, when they're, you know, 18 years old. We have no idea what they're going to develop into. But the shooting process is not quick. It's a slower process. I love it the way it comes off his fingertips, the arc, and, you know, he shoots it at a decent level, you know, shoots from behind the arc. You know, he could be better, but he's in the 35 percentile percentage. What did he shoot field goal percentage this past year? 44.4%. A lot of that's probably at the rim and dunks. But here's what you look at, okay? Great shooters. You never see a great shooter struggle from the free throw line. It's not like he had a lot of attempts, understood. He's not playing a lot of minutes. But he shot 67.9% in his rookie season from the free throw line, and he shot 75% last year. At Villanova in college, he shot 70% from the free throw line. So there was a lot of Wizards fans that were thinking, Whitmore is the guy. You got the guy that could end up being the superstar. Maybe. I like the trade. I think it's high risk without I mean, I high reward for relatively very low risk. A 26 second rounder and a 29 second rounder. So I'm all for it. And who knows, maybe he's totally rejuvenated, coming home to play, playing for the team that he was actually a fan of. He is athletic, you know. 6'7", 6'7 and a half, 225, 230, 235, whatever the weight is, somewhere in there. And man, does he go after it at the rim. He dunks hard. I love the athleticism. But like I saw, you know, some comparisons. I should stay off Twitter in these moments before, like to Anthony Edwards. No. He's not Anthony Edwards. He's not that athletic. He's very athletic. He's not that athletic. And Anthony Edwards has a really good release and can really shoot it. That would be my one thing. Defense, and is he going to be a guy that if they play off him because he's explosive and he can get to the rim and he can dunk on people, is he going to be a consistent enough shooter with a good enough process shooting the basketball, you know, against good defenders? Because it is a, and I remember saying this specifically when he came out, it's not a quick release, quick operation. It isn't. You can go watch Villanova stuff. I'm guessing that the Houston stuff shows the same stuff. But he didn't play in a lot of meaningful minutes. He had a couple of really good games. I think he had a 34-point game late in the season. You know, the Rockets weren't playing their starters, and he got an opportunity to start and scored 34 against the Lakers on the road. He was 7 of 12 from behind the arc. But I haven't even looked at that. I'm going to go back and look at those highlights. I should have. I'm just looking at the stat line here. I'm going to bet this is not a lot of starters in the game. He's not well defended on any of these threes, so that the slow process of shooting an open three, because it does come off his fingertips well, you know, it's a good stroke. It's just a slower stroke. A lot of times, good shooters at the NBA level never turn into great production guys because the operation is slow. You can get away with it in college. You can't in the NBA. But he's got to get better defensively. He's got to become more, I remember that was the knock on him coming out too from Nova, just a little bit more interested defensively. But yeah, I like the trade. And again, coming home, you know, and mixing in with all of these young players. But, you know, I shouldn't, you know, focus on the nonsense of social media, but I can't believe how many of you tweeted me and said they're going to end up winning too many games next year. They're going to be in the play-in round because of Cam Whitmore? Really? I doubt it. I doubt it. I hope I'm wrong. Like, I hope he turns into Anthony Edwards. I hope he turns into a superstar. He certainly is athletic. He is a freakish athletic talent, no doubt about it. But there's a long way to go in a lot of aspects of his game, which, by the way, may develop. He's only 20 years old. He turns 21 this month, I think, at some point this month. All right. We've got one more thing that I've not touched on that we'll finish up with when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Tom Lavero is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes, give us his perspective on what the Nationals are doing. He has an article about how Mark Lerner is a penny-pinching, know-nothing owner.
Mm.
So we will hear from Tom Lavero coming up in 20 minutes. Sean Casey will join us from the MLB Network coming up at 8:25. He's a character.
Yeah, he'll be good.
So is this true? I've never heard this story. The Lavero has in here that I'm sure it was reported, and I just never picked up on it, that Mark and Ted made a deal with Boris to sign Strasburg to that big deal. behind Rizzo's back. Has that been reported? The general manager would never have made such a ridiculous contract, was frozen out.
I had never heard that.
Well, you know what? It's probably true. You should text Mike and ask him if that's true. I didn't know that was reported.
Well, we can hear Lavero's side of that coming up in 20 minutes. I don't think he's going to put something out there that's not true. So we'll talk to Lavero shortly. EB, you though kind of opened the show talking about Cam Whitmore, and I don't know if you want to dive deeper into it. The Wizards' first summer league game is on Friday.
I've been waiting. I've been checking them out, waiting for the Wiz.
They're starting on Friday.
Right.
I think because they started with like the Utah Summer League. They're in the Vegas Summer League.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So Utah Summer League, just a few games, few teams.
But I've seen there's been two Ace Bailey games so far, right? The first one, maybe he didn't have as much of an impact offensively, but he made some defensive plays. And then I saw, I guess, last night, maybe he had like 18 or something.
Yep. I saw that.
18 and 7 last night.
One of his guys from his like entourage, whatever, was an assistant coach in the Summer League. It was kind of getting some controversy, kind of the people that he surrounds himself with. There are some questions. But anyway. Summer League's about to heat up for the Wizards, but you seem excited about this Cam Whitmore deal.
Well, listen, I'm not saying it's like a franchise changer. I just think he's a young talent. Well, maybe even like in the vein of an Anthony Johnson who has just a ton of potential. And let's see.
He's so young.
So young.
I think he just turned 21 today, maybe.
Right. Right. And he's shown flashes. I don't know.
But for whatever reason, now he did have a knee issue in his first year, and he missed some time, and who knows, I think he was out 3 weeks or a month. But, you know, for whatever reason, if you just read the recaps of the trade, they just couldn't find a spot for him.
Right.
Which I don't understand, because if you have a player that's talented and he's going to produce.
Well, you don't think you have, sometimes you could have a glut at that position?
Maybe that might be the case. But when you trade a player just for two second rounders, now look, those second rounders might be in the early second round of those drafts, but you got to find a spot for a real talented kid. I like him. I think he's good. You know, he's young. He only played 1 year at Villanova. He averaged 12.5 his rookie year. He had that injury and then it dipped down a little bit. But if you look at his game log, when he got significant minutes, he had some big games. He had 34 against the Lakers.
27 against OKC.
Yeah, so
I think Dawkins is just trying to assemble talent. The way that I look at it,
I agree.
I'm sure there's a little more method to the madness. Mm-hmm. But the way that I look at it, and I think I said this before, is it's almost a Lord of the Flies mentality. Like I think they're just trying to bring in as many guys, and whoever emerges, they hope that somebody emerges. They're okay with it. So it's almost a volume play, right?
Sure.
Bring in a volume of these guys who are all 19, 20 years old. I mean. It's incredible that he's been in the league for two seasons and he's still only 20 years old, but that's what he is. He's 6'7". So I would toss him in a pile with Koulibaly, who of course was drafted high by the Wizards. That was Dawkins' first selection. But Koulibaly, you know, is a forward. Whitmore, you might see more of as a guard, but really these are guys who are just swing players,
Interchangeable, yeah.
Right. Then I would throw George in the mix there. Keyshawn George. I would throw Trey Johnson, who's skinny. He seems to be more of a guard. And you still have Corey Kispert. I don't know if he's on the outside looking in because he's old compared to these guys. And you got about five or six guys that all kind of play the same swing type of position. And they're just looking for one or two of them to emerge. That's the way I look at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to be a star. He could be a guy that's, you know, gives you 12 to 14, you know, in his peak as a role player.
So what I remember about Cam from last year, everybody was excited after the first season and the first summer league. He obviously took a back step last year, but there was a couple incidents that I remember. There was one time. So he's been branded already as selfish and not a team player. And that when he goes in the game, he only cares about himself. I'm not saying that that's necessarily true. I'm just saying that's what Rocket fans, I remember my next door neighbor and my good friend is a huge Rockets fan. So we talk about Cam often.
Well, and to back you up, he's putting up 10 shots in 18 minutes of play.
Yeah, he's
firing. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. But there were times last year where the Rockets are going on a run, everyone's celebrating, Cam sitting on the bench pouting, not high-fiving anybody. He's getting in fights in the middle of the game with Jalen Green. There were a couple incidents that just make it seem like this guy isn't a fit on a championship team. Now, look, coming to the Wizards, you want to take as many shots at guys like this as you can to hopefully get something out of him, or maybe he matures, he turns into something. So from our end, it's no big deal. I just don't think the Rockets felt like he was a good championship piece.
Yeah, they didn't want him, clearly. I don't think it had anything to do with the other guys on the roster.
And you can kind of see that.
They didn't like him as a player.
They didn't like his personality.
Okay. Maybe he's immature. That could be true.
A guy that's that talented falls in the draft all the way down to whatever it was, 23, and then is traded 2 years later for two meaningless second-round picks. Yeah. Something is off there.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see. I mean, he's talented. Nothing to lose.
I totally agree with that. He probably would have gone higher in the draft if it wasn't for, because I'm sure he had those issues in college too. If he would have stayed in college for 2 or 3 years, he would have put up stupid numbers. But he comes out after 1 year. He was, I think it was the 21st pick or the 20th pick, something like that.
It was in the 20s.
But
I thought it was 22nd.
I agree with you. For whatever reason, Houston can say, look, we just had too many. We just couldn't find a fit for him talent-wise. They didn't like him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give up on a kid that you drafted in the first round 2 years prior who's athletic. And give them up for second round picks. You don't do that.
I just
really
liked it as an afterthought move that they made and that my eyebrows were raised. Mm-hmm. That's all.
But maybe if he matures over the next 2 or 3 years and realizes, hey, you know what? I got to be a better team player, or I'm going to find myself, you know, riding benches the rest of my career, if not out of the league.
If you were to bet, you would say he's likely to be a journeyman. But I like the skill set, and he's still young enough that there might be something there.
And I like the fact that you're only giving up second-round picks. That's why Will Dawkins was making all these deals for all these. He's got 100 second-round picks that he can move for players like this, and he's just taking a shot.
Yeah, I like it. See, now I was wondering, because he's in his third year, would he be a guy that would play in the summer league? They probably would say, hey, once you get to know some of the guys.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I bet you they would. I bet you he would do it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he thinks he's above it, but
I looked at their summer league roster a few days ago, and there were only like three names which jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if they've updated.
Now, the Rockets claim that they had multiple offers for Whitmore, and if this was the best one, because it clearly was the best one, they claim they wanted to trade him to a team that where he could actually fit in and possibly play.
They claim that they cared about what happened to
him? And, you know, they're trading him back home because he's from the DMV.
Yeah.
So
maybe they did. Maybe they liked the kid.
I don't believe
that. You don't think it's possible that maybe the front office, they liked the kid, but they knew it just wasn't a fit?
No, I believe that NBA teams make the best deal for their team.
So I think generally that's true.
I believe that this was probably the best deal on the table.
So the Wizards did announce their summer league roster.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I see it with all the guys now, and he is not part of it.
Okay.
Alex Saris,
this
will be his second season. Keyshawn George.
Second year guys, it's not unusual.
Trey Johnson.
Third year guys, unless you're like a total journeyman, probably a little bit more unusual.
Surprised. I don't think I see Bub Carrington. But the rest of the guys that they've drafted in the last couple of seasons are there.
Right.
And then a lot of people you've never heard of.
Where's Johnny Davis? Is he in China yet? Is he still in the league anywhere?
Probably.
Is it a back of a roster somewhere? I don't know, dude.
By the way, Cam Whitmore turns 21. He becomes legal today.
Well, he'll have his first drink today.
He's going to have his first drink. Never drank in college.
Right. Anyway.
Although I have no idea.
Listen, I'm not saying it's going to change anything. I just liked it. It raised my eyebrows when I saw that they picked him up. Because he's a talented player. You know?
Got nothing to lose.
I don't think you have anything to lose. Have they come out yet with the win-loss totals for 25-26?
Oh, I'm sure.
Where do the Wiz fall?
Look,
are they
going
to be like the exact same number?
Just where were they? About 17.5?
I mean,
last year? I can't remember.
I would think
it would be higher than that just based on what they added.
Was that the number? I thought the number was higher and they went below it.
I mean, no, you know what? It was 20.5.
Right, and they ended up below it, right?
Yeah, I don't see the win totals out just yet.
Okay.
Now, maybe on some site, I'm just on FanDuel, I don't see it.
It's going to be hard to endure another 20-win season.
I think they're
gonna be- it's going to be like that.
Oh.
I might be slightly better. It depends on how long they keep C.J. McCollum and how much they play him. Chris Middleton, same thing. Depends on his health. Because you have some veterans that can play.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart.
But they don't want to play him that much.
Well, maybe they'll move him. I saw Linnell was tweeting that the Knicks were sniffing around, allegedly, for Marcus Smart. Maybe they are.
All right. This is from Vegas Insider. They're Wizards at 22.5.
22.5. So a couple so wins
slightly,
better.
Slightly better than last year.
And it's a brutal season to go 22-60.
To answer your question, by the way, Johnny Davis, who the Wizards drafted a few years ago in the first round, is now playing for the Westchester Knicks in the G League.
Okay, he's in the G League. Who's a worse first-round pick, Malcolm Forbes or Johnny Davis?
Malcolm Forbes. I almost – the name sounds familiar. Malcolm Forbes?
Wasn't that his name? The skinny corner for –
No, Emmanuel Forbes.
Emmanuel, sorry.
Yeah, he threw me
Malcolm,
off.
I'm sorry. Emmanuel Forbes. The skinny corner.
I think Johnny Davis was worse.
I don't know, dude. Manny Forbes did nothing.
He played. I mean, he played more than Johnny Davis. I know that.
Is he still with the Rams?
Yeah.
Or they released him?
No, he's there.
Man, he's still there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, what hurts the most is that Jalen Williams was drafted right after Johnny Davis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's, you know, borderline superstar now.
Right. Well,
if you could
different get, regime.
I think if you could get the Wizards, I'm looking here on another site, they're at 19.5. I think if you could get the Wizards at 20 or less, I would go over.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't feel great about it.
No, of course not. I mean, I wouldn't think that they're going to win 30 games, but I think they could be, depending on what they do with these guys, like CJ.
If you had,
I think they could be in that 23.
If you had Will Dawkins and you sat him down, you're having a beer, do you think he'd tell you, yeah, we're going to bottom out again this year, but then the following year, we're going to try to win like 35 or 40?
I think that's the hope.
That's the hope.
The problem is if they get shafted with another terrible lottery selection,
they
might not get a difference maker.
We'll have like an 85% chance of not getting a top pick.
Yeah, but he's also hopeful that these guys are going to develop.
I mean, I would think that you would want to see some improvement from last year.
I would too, but
if you're
predicted to only win 22 games, that's like kind of the same. It's not even really like improvement.
Yeah, 19 to 22.
Like 18 wins to 22 wins or whatever, that's not really improvement.
You're 100% right.
It's just god awful.
You're right. But maybe they surprise people and win 25.
I guess that's marginally better.
It is.
I guess.
They'll definitely be looking to get something for Kispert. They got to trade Kispert now.
They have to trade Kispert.
He just doesn't really have a fit on this team, and somebody else could probably use him or would give up something for him. You know, you got your veteran guys in like Middleton that you need to play a little bit for trade value. And then you got the young guys you got to play. There are so many wings on this team. Someone's got to go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kispert will be a piece.
Mm-hmm. Although, at some point, you got to decide on the pieces that you want to keep, though.
Got to be better. Like, he's good.
But
he's
you
like
need,
a good.
Well, Kispert's pre-Will Dawkins. So,
yeah.
He's a good
but you need to
NBA
see,
player. But
you
not
need to see
special.
Improvement. Certainly from Koulibaly. Big time improvement from him. And Sarr's numbers need to go up.
Yep. I think Sarr's will.
Yeah. I think if Koulibaly and Sarr's numbers go up and you couple that with the veterans they've got, I mean, they're not going to the playoffs, I get it, but I think you'll see in a more improved win total.
Let's see how many of these veterans are really around after a month or two.
I can't believe I'm talking about going over the 20 games.
You're just a DJ.
I might do it though.
All right, coming up next. You went over the Nats total. That's looking like a big loser.
Oh, that's a loser. I've already done the math on that. They'd have to be on a big time, you know, hot streak in the second half. Be 4 or 5 games under 500 for the second half. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, of course, the Nats pulled the plug on both Mike Rizzo, mm-hmm. their GM, president of baseball operations, and Davey Martinez, the manager. Coming up next, Tom Lavero will give us his take on who's to blame for the situation.
Final hour of the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Also streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, you can check it out wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And the Odyssey app. And of course, we're also on YouTube at the Team 980. Speaking of podcasts, Take Command, Logan and I talked about football play calling nomenclature. And while that sounds incredibly nerdy and boring, I promise you it was interesting. And you'll hear part of that conversation coming up at 6:15. But first, it is time to welcome in the head coach of Archbishop Spalding's boys basketball team, Josh Pratt, who coached Cam Whitmore at Archbishop Spalding and now gets to see his former player play for the Wizards at Capital One Arena. Josh, appreciate your time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to talk to you about Cam, a kid that you had when he was a kid, now as a young man coming back to the DMV to play for the Wizards. I always love to ask this question when we have like high school coaches on or college coaches of guys that are young professionals or just became professionals. In Cam's case, been with Houston, obviously, for a couple years now. Tell me about the first time you saw Cam Whitmore and what you thought of the young man.
The first time I saw him actually was in the spring, and you know, he was already a big young man. You know, I think sometimes, you know, when especially high school teachers, you know, he looked so big, but you didn't realize he was 15 years old, and he's, you know, legit 6'7". I don't think he was probably maybe 215 pounds. But a tall individual, very well respected. You know, he's a respectful kid, was raised well by his mom and dad. And we hit it off right away, really. You know, quiet kid as a sophomore. You know, obviously, you know, I'm sure people know, you know, coming off an injury as a freshman. But, you know, over the period of time, I was able to gain his trust. We did a lot of kind of one-on-one meetings and stuff like that. And, you know, I think his breakout game, personally, was when he had 34 and like 15 rebounds against Gilman. They were number one in our league at the time, and we kind of pulled the upset. And, you know, his dunk against this 6'9 kid, I mean, I just sat there with his with my arms folded. But inside, it was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable dunk, and that's when I knew, like, this, the kid was special.
So what do you do with a kid like that? Like, you don't get kids like that. And if you're coaching at IMG Academy, like, sure. You have that Montverde, you have that all the time. But you get a kid like that that's just special and different that comes through your program. I'm sure there's a sense of responsibility. What are the feelings that you have, and then what are some things that you try to do to make sure that you maximize him and get him set up for the best career that he's going to have as potentially a professional basketball player?
Well, you know, when he was young, I think he was kind of off the radar. So it was more of just building a relationship with him on and off the court. You know, really gaining his trust as a player. I think his parents really helped that. His parents, you know, I can't thank enough. They believed in me, believed in my track record, you know, so to speak, as a high school coach. You know, there's, you know, this time and age, you know, everybody, you know, is transferring, and, you know, and I took over for a coach that, you know, recruited Cam, and he could have easily transferred. But, you know, he trusted me, trusted my staff. And so when it comes to, you know, really working the kid out, it's individual workouts, it's morning workouts. We do 6 a.m. morning workouts before school, you know, things like that. So, you know, and then really film study, right? Like, you know, pulling him aside and kind of doing some film study with him individually, help side defense, rotations, you know, because he's an unbelievable athlete. I think everybody knows that. So, you know, again, going back to what I said earlier, just gaining his trust, and I think he believed in me as a coach. We won some good games. You know, obviously, I think we would have won more games. I think he would have been a 2,000-point score if it wasn't for the pandemic.
Yeah, which obviously shaped every kid that's his age and their experience in high school. Josh Pratt, the head coach of Archbishop Spalding, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Coach Cam Whitmore, of course, now with the Wizards. I want to double click on the trust factor, because it seems like the reports out of Houston were that he and Ime Udoka, the head coach down there, were not on the same page. What can you get out of a Cam Whitmore when you have his trust?
Oh, you're going to get a tremendous player. I think there's a lot of untapped talent there that I think once you gain his trust, I think you're going to get a kid that's will do anything for you, will do anything for the organization. I think, you know, and again, I mean, I absolutely love the kids. I'm definitely biased, but I think he's coachable. I think, you know, I think he's a good teammate. I think, honestly, just watching from afar and not really knowing what happened down there, I think he just wants to play. I mean, I think he wants to help contribute to the team because I think he believes in his talent. I think he's a very confident individual. And I think, you know, I think it was a great trade. You know, I think, yeah, I'm a huge Wizards fan. I was a ball boy back in 1989. So I've been a Wizards fan all my life. So I personally love it. I think they're going to get the best out of him. I tell you, a side note is his dad and I are close. He still comes to games, things like that. He sent me a picture of Cam when he was younger, and Martin Gortat was signing his autograph. I just thought the world of that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. I think Cam actually wound up sharing that out on social media as well. So very, very
cool. Oh, cool. Okay, yeah.
Very cool to see the ties. Actually, I want to ask you about the Wizards' ties as a local basketball guy in a second and as a head coach of a local program. But on Cam as a player, I'm just going to repeat the line that Zach Lowe used because I thought it's humorous in its own way. But he's like, Cam's decision tree right now is like, have ball, yes, okay, then shoot. And obviously in the NBA, in some ways that's simpler. Like, we don't have to play make, we have to do anything else. But you want to be able to round out that part of your game to become the best version of yourself as a player. Scoring is very valuable, but the more you can do, the better. So as Cam gets here to DC, starts working with Brian Keefe and that staff, when you talk about that untapped potential, what are some of the things that you think Cam can add offensively, and what do you think his potential is as a defender at the NBA level?
I think he can defend. I think, you know, watching, you know, I was able to catch a couple of games. You know, I think his self-side defense and his rotations, whatever their scheme is, whatever the Wizards want to do defensively, I think Cam will be bought in. I think he can defend on the perimeter. I think he can also defend bigger guys because of his strength. I think that's a strength of his as well. You know, but it really comes down to what their principles are as far as, you know, stopping ball, rotations, you know, how help side is, who they, you know, doubling, you know, things like that. I think, but, you know, he's got a high IQ. I think he can be a really good defender. I think he can be a great rebounder and a guy that can, you know, start the transition, you know, and be a playmaker, not just a finisher around the basket, if that makes sense. You know, like,
for sure,
you watch some of his highlights. You know, you watch some of his highlights with the Rockets, you know, it's all dunks and things like that, you know, but he can shoot the three. He can pull up and hit the mid-range shot. You know, he's going to be playing with young guys, so, you know, he's going to be have an opportunity to play with those guys and really grow. You know, you got a guy like Sarr that can block shots, things like that. So, you know, you got some help rebounding. You got some long athleticism. So I think he fits in perfect there. Offensively, you know, selfishly, I'd love to see him push the ball more. I'd love to see him, you know, create for other people, which he's more than capable of doing. You know, at the high school level, you know, let's be real. Like, he was the best player on the court every time we played, right? So he was able to cheat a little bit. You know, as you are in the professional business now, you have to, you know, you got to really be on your P's and Q's because you got guys that have been in the league for a long time that have a lot of experience. So, yeah, I think he can be a tremendous player for the Wizards, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I think he fits in a really interesting place in their plethora of skill sets, because he and now Trey Johnson are the two guys that I think are much more offensive-minded than a lot of the defense-first guys that they've taken the past couple of years. So I'm very curious to see kind of who handles the ball. Obviously, they have some of the vets around, like CJ McCollum as well. So I think we'll get a chance to see those opportunities. Last thing for Josh Pratt, the head coach of Archbishop Spalding, boys basketball, had Cam Whitmore, as we've been talking about here for the last 10 minutes or so, in high school at Spalding. But Josh, just more generally, you mentioned your own personal history with the Wizards, being a ball boy back in 89, and a guy who's a huge Wizards fan. And as a high school coach in this area, like, do you have a connection at this point with Monumental Basketball? I know it's something they're working on, and I know, like, Brian Keefe did a big coaches clinic last year. That was kind of a new thing. I know that is Will Dawkins and Michael Winger and that whole front office crew has gotten more acclimated to the area. They are trying to connect more with the basketball scene in the DMV. I'm just curious, as a guy who is either on the receiving end of that or hopes to be, I'm sure, have you started to feel that yet?
Oh, I would love to be. I would love to check out if I'm going to answer the question correctly. Like, I would love to be a part. Like, I'd love to come to a practice and watch and things like that. You know, Capital Hoops, Mark Stern, has invited us to the Wizards. I guess there's a showcase event sponsored by the Wizards, January 11th. We'll be out there for that. You know, I've got a couple of young prospects that are rising, sophomores that are, you know, currently ranked in the country, that I think potentially, you know, could be high major Division I players. So, like, we're, you know, I've been there. I'm going into my seventh year. We've really changed the program around. I think we're known for basketball besides other sports. But to answer your question, I think I would love to, like, honestly, I would love to come down and watch a practice and learn and things like that. I mean, I think as a high school coach, I've been doing this since for 30 years now. I would love to learn. Once you stop learning, you should probably stop coaching, right? So,
100%.
Yeah, I would love to be a. I would love to sit in a practice. Man, are you kidding? That would be fantastic.
Yeah, and I know. I don't know exactly what that looks like. I know it's something that they've talked about mattering to them, and it should. Like, DMV basketball is important in the basketball world, and the Wizards, as the professional NBA team here, are obviously an essential cog in that wheel. And I'm curious to see how that continues to grow the longer this staff is in place. Josh, really appreciate the time. Thanks so much. And hopefully we'll catch you at some point down the line. And good luck as you get your summer program going and ultimately work into the fall.
I really appreciate it. One last thing. You got sure. Two Baltimore Catholic League players playing on the Wizards, Bob Carrington
yep.
and Cam Whitmore. So that speaks volumes about our league. Our Baltimore Catholic League is one of the best in the country. But thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Pratt, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Again, the head coach at Archbishop Spalding.
6-7 The Fan and the Team 980. Going to talk to our guy Chase Hughes here shortly about the Washington Wizards. Jason saw a graphic, which I saw a few days ago, and I don't know why that graphic doesn't have Bub Carrington in Vegas, but then I saw a different graphic. Somebody sent in a tweet and was like, JP, you're dead wrong. Bub Carrington's on the roster, but I don't know. Jason and I are like looking at some roster that doesn't have Bub.
This was a tweet from the Wizards.
I know.
It was a Wizards.
I know. I saw the same one.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a mistake.
Maybe, or maybe Bub, maybe they were just unsure, and then maybe he was dealing with some injury, and now he's going to be fine. Because I did see him. He was practicing with them, I think it was yesterday, when the news station was over there. And they had cameras in the gym, and I saw him, but I don't know.
Let's talk to our guy, Chase Hughes. He joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, Chase.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
So can you fill us in? Is Bub Carrington going to be playing in the summer league?
You know, I just woke up a little while ago. Where did you guys see that?
Well, I'm looking at a tweet from the Wizards, and they listed all the players on the roster, and he's not on it.
Oh, really? I saw him on a roster that they did put out there. Someone had texted me asking. I mean, he had his right hand wrapped a little bit, but he addressed the media after their rookie minicamp practice a couple days ago and was talking like he was pretty excited to play. So, I mean, with these guys who are coming back for the second year, you don't know how long they're going to play if they do. Like, Alex Starr had some question marks about him. Like, if they do play, I'm sure it's only for a game or two. But as far as I know, I think Bub Carrington will be playing tomorrow night.
Okay, that makes sense. He's just dealing – when they released this on July 7th, because that's when they released it, maybe they were just unsure of his hand.
Possibly, yeah. But yeah, they after that, the next day, ended up having him talk to us, and it was a pretty funny media scrum because Trey Johnson III. These guys are becoming like best friends immediately. Apparently, he was crashing his press conference and asking him questions. And Bub Carrington's a pretty funny guy. I would suggest people go watch that video.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Well, you did mention Trey Johnson. He's on the roster, number 12. He'll be out there in Vegas. How's he been looking at the mini camp, and what do you expect from him in these games?
He's been looking good. You know, him and Bub Carrington, as I mentioned, you know, they are becoming good friends, and part of that has been shooting competitions during and after practices. They've had this small rookie mini camp, and Trey Johnson III. Now, first of all, both these guys have said that they've been winning the shooting competitions, but Trey Johnson III insisted he's won most of them, and that's not surprising because that's what he does best. I mean, he was an incredible shooter in college, shot about 40% from three, shot about 40% from NBA range threes. So I think he's going to have a chance to have a pretty strong summer league. You know, we saw some of the young players on the Wizards struggle with their shooting last year. I doubt that's going to happen with him just because he's been such a great shooter for such a long time. And with the duo of him and Bub Carrington, I think it'll be fun to watch because these guys could be the starting backcourt for the Wizards for the next 10 years. You know, it could be the next backcourt that, you know, we've seen John Wall, Bradley Beal before them, or Gilbert Arenas, Larry Hughes. You never know. These guys are both lottery picks. They're both 19 years old. They have a ton of talent. They are both very versatile and big for their position. So this is the duo that the Wizards hope lead them into a new era.
All right, so when you expand the actual tweet, AJ Johnson and Bub Carrington are on the roster. So
that was, there you go.
That was my bad. I was just looking at the original. So
you weren't the only one, though. Someone texted me. They're like, "Where's Bub Carrington on the roster?" I checked the emails. Like, I saw him there.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so you think Alex Starr is only going to play a couple games? I know it's mostly just for the rookies and the guys trying to make the team, but what do you expect from Alex? And how's he looked?
I expect a stronger showing. You know, he struggled in the summer league last year. He had the one game where he went, I think it was 0 for 16, right? And a lot of people made a lot of that. He came back and played a little bit better after that. But overall, could definitely have a better appearance in the summer league this year than he did last year. And this is a new philosophy for the organization to have these guys come back for a second summer league. It's not something that the previous front office did. And GM Will Dawkins, basically what he's done is he's carried over this philosophy from the Oklahoma City Thunder, which they've employed for a long time. And it goes back to Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. Those guys played multiple years in the summer league, even though they were great as rookies. And the way he described it to me one time is basically, you know, if a young guy says, I don't know if I want to go back to Vegas for a second time, they can say, well, Kevin Durant did it. Russell Westbrook did it. Like, what's your excuse? So they really strongly believe that this is a very valuable developmental resource. And so with Alex Saar and all the guys who played last year, this is kind of the midway point in the offseason. They've been in the gym since May 6th. It's been over 2 months since they've been working on their games. There's a little over 2 months till training camp. It's a great time for those guys to go out and build some confidence.
All right, so when you look at the roster as a whole, I mean, who stays and who goes? We got a glut of, like, guards and wing players. I mean, what do you got, like 12, 13 of those guys? Like, how long are some of these older guys going to be? I mean, is Marcus Smart going to actually play for this team? Chris Middleton, Corey Kispert, CJ McCollum? I mean, the list goes on and on.
I mean, that's a great question. It's like a numbers game at this point. They have so many players. They just traded Kelly Olynyk for two more young players from the Spurs, and there's not enough roster spots to go around.
Right.
And, you know, when they first traded for Kelly Olynyk and CJ McCollum, you know, I was asked on the radio, like, where are they going to fit in the rotation? And I was like, well, you know, we've got to see. I didn't expect one of them to get traded, but you just never know. And so we saw what happened with Kelly Olynyk. Would have been ironic if he played for the Wizards, of course, given their history. That's not going to happen. But yeah, you just don't know. And I would say definitely look at the veteran players, the guys on expiring contracts, guys who, you know, might be able to help contenders. I think there's still plenty of time left in the offseason, and I would imagine the Wizards are going to field calls for those guys probably in particular. But then as far as the young guys, there's just going to be a lot more of them on the roster next year. And I think the way that could translate is just more competition for roles and minutes. They're young guys. They've kind of brought them in. They've cleared the runway for them to play a lot of minutes and essentially be given their roles to a certain extent. Now I think the accountability is going to have a different nature to it where guys will have to perform or else someone else is going to take their spot.
An intriguing guy that just picked up kind of almost as an afterthought is Cam Whitmore, first round pick of a couple of years ago with the Spalding local kid, still very, very young. I'm not sure he's even 21 yet, right? Didn't we talk about that? Like, he's just barely
just turned 21. I think July 7th he turned 21.
Is that a guy that is just kind of they're just going giving a flyer to, or is he somebody they think, hey, he might actually be able to help us?
Yeah, I think it's more than just giving a flyer to him. You might think that just because they only had to give up 2 second-round picks, but he was a top 5 talent in the draft 2 years ago, and he fell unexpectedly on draft night to 20th. There were rumors about his medical reports, it's maybe an issue with his knee, but he was really good in Houston. He just couldn't get minutes because he was on a playoff team and they had a lot of talent in his position. And Ime Udoka really favors defense, and that's not a big strength of his. But it's pretty amazing the production he had and the minutes that he did play. He only averaged about 17 minutes a game through 2 years there and was scoring about 11 points per game. So he can get to it. He could shoot. He's really athletic. He's going to be the best dunker on the Wizards from day one. He's going to be fun to watch. And what I like about watching him is he's super aggressive. Like, he's not timid at all. He's got a really high motor on the offensive end. And going back to that idea of competing with other players, like, you know, guys are going to have to bring their A games because we know that he will.
All right, so this is an opinion. I want your opinion. So if this team is going to get to another level eventually, one of these young guys has to emerge and be the alpha offensively, right? You watch OKC, clearly Shea is, you know, leading scorer in the league and everything. Most teams have that guy. Who do you think? Now, you haven't seen Trey play for him yet. You've seen right. Bub, you've seen Saar, you got Bilal. Do they have that alpha yet?
I think Bub Carrington has the best chance of being that guy. Whether they have that alpha yet, I would lean towards yes with him. I think he's definitely got the alpha personality. Like, you can pick that right up when you're talking to him. But also, You know, I was impressed with his rookie year. He is the most skilled and the best shooter of their young guys, or at least he demonstrated that last year. He's the most skilled off the dribble. And I thought down the stretch of last year, he really showed a lot in terms of creating his own shot. We saw him hit the buzzer beater in game 82 against the Miami Heat. He, you know, last year in the summer league, it stood out to me that he just immediately took a three and knocked it down like 5 seconds into his first summer league game. Like, that guy is never scared. He never backs down from a challenge. And he just has that type of personality where he wants to be that guy. He wants to take that shot. And the fact that he's so far ahead of the other guys in terms of his skill off the dribble, that's why I would say it's him.
He had a 32-point game against Orlando in that last month as well. I don't know that Sar ever got to that. Well, I guess Sar did have one 34-point game. I feel like he's got a little more offensive upside, so I agree with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Sar, they're more defensive picks. You know, like, if they can become good offensive players, then that would be great. They would be great two-way players potentially, but they were drafted primarily for their defense. Bob Carrington was drafted for his offense. And when you're talking about a guy to lead the offense or lead a team, generally think a guy who can score a lot of points, and I think he's got a potential to do that.
So these two players that they acquired for Olynyk, Branham and Wesley, Malachi Branham, Blake Wesley, they're not going to make the team.
I mean,
there's no roster spots for them.
Yeah, I mean, right now they would definitely be pretty low on the list. So unless they clear some room, getting some veterans out of there, right. You know, you have to imagine if, you know, maybe in training camp they're competing for those final spots. Maybe, you know, it's not NBA contracts. Maybe it's time in the G League.
Right.
Hey, what's your file? He's on the summer league roster, and I guess maybe he's been part of the go-go. It's just a great name. I wasn't familiar with him. He played at North Carolina. What's your file on Leaky Black?
Yeah, he's been a guy who's been in their system a couple years now. 6'8", wing, known for his defense, was a really good defensive player at North Carolina. Just going back to taking a flyer on a guy, that's what they're doing with him. Just, you know, got the positional size, play some defense. Maybe he can sort of come into his own physically and prove to be a diamond in the rough, but someone that, you know, certainly you wouldn't have high expectations for. But I think what they're doing is just trying to bring in as many young guys with athleticism as they can. They probably have like 10 or 12 guys you could say that about at this point, and just see who emerges.
All right, Chase, are you going to Vegas or are you staying here?
I'm about to hop on a flight. Wes Hall and I are doing a stream at 5 p.m. Monumental Plus app. I'll be covering it from Vegas for Monumental Sports Network, so I will be there. I guess I'm going to just miss Kate, huh?
You're not going to cross paths.
You're just going to miss him.
Yep.
Perfect. All right, good luck, man. Have fun out there.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Chase Hughes covers the Wizards for the Monumental Sports Network. Wizards' first summer league game is on Friday, so you get to watch the young guys. Hopefully one of them develops into a star someday. But it's going to be a long year. Carlos from downstairs, security guard, he asked me the other day, he's like, what do you think about the Wizards? Oh, yeah. He thinks they're going to win 30 games. I was like, I'll take the under on that.
30's a stretch.
He's always an optimist.
30's a stretch.
Hey, he mentioned Cakes. Cakes going to jump on at 8 o'clock. We'll get the latest from Cakes as he wrapped up his World Series of Poker run yesterday. We'll talk to him coming up at 8 o'clock here on The Fan.
And to talk about the Wizards on the Beltway, Blitzer guy Josh, don't you dare call him Joshua Robbins, live in Vegas. Wizards tip off tonight in Summer League. What are our main themes, big takeaways? What are we looking for?
Well, they need to play hard. They need to play with some defense. And then the returning guys especially have to look like they know what they're doing. They're going to be implementing a few new things, but they've got to be able to move the ball around. They've got to pass up good shots to try and get great shots. Returning players such as Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, Alex Sar need to show a little bit about what they've worked on. You know, they have to be a little stronger, a little bit more physical. And this is a summer league when they have to outshine a lot of the less experienced competition.
Yeah, you touched on it, Josh. Some of those guys that have, you know, pretty good, you know, some pelts on the wall, not for a winning program just yet, but made some strides as rookies. They're returning for their sophomore summer here. How long do we expect to see them? Is it a game or two? Will they be there for the duration? Kind of what's the mandate there?
So they're not saying fully.
my suspicion is maybe two games, maybe three, and I don't expect them to be playing regular season level minutes in terms of percentage of the game. They're not going to that I'm sure of. It's not so. These are what 40-minute games. I'd be surprised if someone such as Bob Carrington plays 30 minutes or even 28 minutes. But when they do play, show a little bit about all this extra weightlifting they've been doing. And they all seem bigger to me, larger to me. I think they've put on some productive weight this offseason.
I have put on unproductive weight this offseason, Josh. That's just, slightly different ways to approach it. Some of the young guys, I want to get to Trey Johnson and company here. What's your axiom? What's kind of your guiding principle for Summer League? I'll give you mine that I want you kind of either, you know, agree, disagree, respond, et cetera. I basically go, if you look like you belong, that's my only prerequisite, right? If you look like you can't do it and you can't get your shot off and you're overwhelmed by the athleticism, et cetera, see, that's kind of my Johnny Davis corollary, then I kind of start to panic. Other than that, I'm not going to take too much out of stats or shot selection or the like, because I'm not sure what everybody's working on. Just kind of, I want to see, do you look like you belong athletically at this level? If you do, I'm good to go. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And with the caveat being, sometimes it's difficult to know. I can think of a bunch of guys over my time covering the league where they had really unaggressive summer leagues where they looked lost. I'm thinking Franz Wagner in particular. And then by the fifth preseason game, they had snapped in a good way. They knew what they were doing. The Johnny Davis example, I remember that very well. You know, one game in, two games in, colleagues and I were talking to me. One person said he cannot get to where he wants to go. And it was so true then, and it remained true. So, yes, sometimes you can see the confidence, the ball handling, and the athleticism in summer league. But the trick for you and for me and for anyone else who watches the league is to try to determine whether that is systemic, endemic to who the player is, or whether it's just growing pains. And that's the trick, for not just for us, for these front offices, to try and figure out who these guys truly are.
When we see Trey Johnson, what are we going to see?
Well, you're going to see most likely a very confident player with a beautiful shot. Almost a picture-perfect shot. Now, I don't expect them all to go in. I'm not even sure he'll hit 40% in summer league, but that's okay. And I think your point is so good. Can he get to where he wants to go? Can he get that ball off without getting challenged too much at the top of his release? One of the hallmarks of his shooting motion is that he releases it so high that even at 6'5", it's very difficult for fellow perimeter players to block. So I think he'll be confident. He might have some trouble finishing at the rim, but that's okay as long as he ultimately learns to finish at the rim at this level. And he's not going to show that in game one. And if he does show that in game one, well, that's a bonus.
And same question here for Will Riley. That's a guy, just full disclosure, Josh, I saw a couple times. It wasn't like I was heavily scouting Illinois throughout the season, but I remember watching them play a couple top teams, and never once did it occur to me, oh, that guy's going to be a first-round NBA draft pick. Not to pick on him, but I thought his teammate was somebody that could go kind of that mid to late first round. But as the season progressed, he obviously got a lot better. I saw him in the tournament, and he was pretty good. But just kind of give me – he seems to me to maybe be a bit further away, which, again, is totally fine if you've got a long-term vision. What do we expect now and then maybe going forward from Will Riley?
So you're making great points. The intel I've received, not just from the Wizards, but really from other evaluators, is that at the bare minimum, he has a good mind for the game. He knows where to pass it, when to shoot. And in that sense, he reminds me a lot of Keyshawn George. Because Keyshawn George, he went, I think, 24th. He was someone at this time last year, before he ever played in a summer league game, where people from other teams were saying, oh, he was drafted too high. Yeah, he didn't play all that much at Miami. He's not all that athletic. Well, the Wizards saw something in him that others didn't, And there's a school of thought around the team and around the league that he might be the best long-term pro of anybody they've got.
Josh, it's great intel, man. Always appreciate the time. Have a good one.
You bet. You bet. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.